Our precious Heavenly Father, we are so glad. Lord, we are glad to be in your presence. There is fullness of joy. There is refreshing and edification when we are in your presence. We love you and we just ask that you have mercy on us as we gather to go into your word, beginning the new week, Lord, in your word. We ask that you open up our understanding. I pray for fresh mercy for myself, Lord God, unction from above, under the covering of my fathers, so that I will bring forth a word of life, Lord, in humility, in power and in clarity, in purity and in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. So this word will accomplish an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation knowledge from you, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask, Lord, for mercy. Help me to be concise, to be precise, redeeming the time. Lord, speaking, Lord, from you and not from myself. And as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of your word things new and old, so that we will be doers of the things that we learn and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. It's a great privilege yet again for me to stand in your presence as to bring the word this morning. And I want to honor my fathers, pastor and mommy, for their impact, their great input and impact, you know, in my life and the life of my family. And I'm trusting that as I bring forth this word, it'll be a word of refreshing to them, bring them joy, and bring you also refreshing joy and edification. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're in our Bible study, and we're in the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians was written by Apostle Paul, and he was correcting the Galatian Christians principally about righteousness, showing them that righteousness and justification with God, being right in the sight of God, is not as a consequence of acts that you perform. It is as a consequence of believing in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you become righteous. You get right standing. And that right standing, being right in the eyes of God, gives us access to the life of God, which is what Jesus really came to give. And that life of God is the substance that makes us think and talk and walk like God. And it is that life that we receive that then begins to renew our minds and begins to, you know, help us to think the way God thinks and help us to behave and act the way God would act, so that we ultimately grow up into him in all things. And that is what Christianity is all about. So in our last lesson, we were in Galatians chapter 3, verses 5 to 11. We'll just run through it very quickly. Thank you. My brethren upstairs, we're running through it quickly. All right. So it says, let's read it. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Next verse. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So it's a redefinition for the Jews. It's not only you. Anybody who believes in Christ, he has now the same things that you have. Praise God. All right, next verse. Verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Next verse. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Amen. And for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Next verse. that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evidence. For the just shall live by faith. Amen. All right. So we saw in our last lesson that God was, through the Holy Spirit, through Apostle Paul, was engaging the Galatian brethren in spiritual reasoning. It's important to reason under the Holy Spirit. There is a reasoning outside of God, but it's important to reason in God, so that the Bible says that by wisdom a house is built, but by understanding it is established. The more you think under God, the more your roots in God go deeper, because you begin to understand what you have believed by faith. It's important to compare our thinking, you know, with God's thinking, as I just mentioned. And many times God uses spiritual oversight, as he was doing for the Galatian brethren, to correct us when our thinking is contrary to God's thinking. You know, it's important to get that. And when this correction comes, because the Bible says that correction is grievous to him that has forsaken the way. It's not palatable. There's nobody. We have to train ourselves and learn to love correction, you know, to accept it, you know, willingly, with an open mind. That's how you do it. We must not submit to we must not reject wise counsel, you know, when it is contrary to our thinking. It's very important, because many times, because you are forsaking the way, when you are told the correct way, it always looks hard. You always feel smaller than you felt you were, you know, and many times, you know, it comes with a rebuke. So it's not comfortable. It's not convenient, but it is profitable. Amen. Because the Bible says that correction is an expression of God's love. The Bible says that them whom God loves, he corrects, and the son whom he receives, he scourges. If you really want to go high with God, you must learn to cultivate a love for correction. We must not be like Rehoboam. Rehoboam, he needed to make a decision when Jeroboam came to him. And no, he went to the wise men, and the wise men said, they told him, he said, if you will answer these people with a soft voice, do good to them, be kind to them, which is what was in the law that God had told the kings to write in Deuteronomy chapter 17, and read it every day, he would have known that the counsel of the old man was in line with the word of God. But he did not. And he went and asked his brethren, you know, the people that were his peers. And naturally, they saw it from a different point of view. Because the Bible says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I understood as a child. And so when he gave them the report, he said, well, to your tents, O Israel. And the Bible says that the thing was of the Lord. It doesn't mean that God wanted him to make that mistake, because God gave him a choice. It was his choice. See, God always gives us a choice when we're being corrected. And the thing to do is to accept it. You know, hold it close. And when you accept it and submit to it, then you open up the door for light to now begin to come into your mind. Then you begin to understand. The initial thing is not understanding. The initial thing is acceptance. When you accept, then you understand. Then you now find out that, even the person that is correcting you saw only one third of the problems that you have. And God now gives the extra two thirds. Then you can actually honestly go back and say thank you. Because you can look back and see that, wow, I really was far from the mark. Amen. And that's what correction does, okay? And the Galatian brethren, for example, were being shown that the ministration of the Spirit in their lives, getting born again, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, healing, deliverance, all those things were happening by faith and not by keeping a set of rules. So he was reminding them of what they had been taught before, you know, that they had allowed to slip from what they were told, from their thinking and their actions. And we also saw that the Galatian brethren, you know, that Paul also mentioned to them that inheritance inheriting blessings and promises is primarily based on faith. Bible says that the inherit is by faith. The blessings come by faith. You know, when God made a covenant with Abraham, he made the covenant with Abraham by faith. Faith in what? Faith in God's character. Okay? That God cannot lie. Numbers 23:19. He's not a man to lie, nor the son of man to repent. So when God says something, he has the wisdom and the power to bring it to pass. You know, and so when you accept and accept that by faith, then that wisdom and power begins to work through you. So what then is the place of works? Because it's not as if God has done away with the works. You know, you get the access by faith. But now you generate the power into the earth by the works. Amen. What are the works of faith? You ask in faith. Amen. Then you believe in your heart. Then you confess the word. Then you pray in the spirit. Then you fast sometimes if necessary. And then you act on the word with thanksgiving. And then the answer comes. The prayer doesn't bring the answer directly. The prayer brings obedience. It is obedience that brings the answer. Bible says if they obey and serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 in verse 1, it says that this blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if the blessings of God are conditional. They are conditional upon obedience. They have always been conditional. God's love is not unconditional. God's love is something that we don't deserve, but having received it, how we respond to it matters. You know, and that's what he was pointing out here. So that, you know, when you now believe, you know, then you, as you speak the word and pray in the spirit, you know, you generate the spiritual power. So that's what works do. Works are firstly an evidence of our faith, and then they're also an avenue for us to complete our faith. So your faith is, the Bible says, faith without works is what? Dead. So the works that we do gives power, gives life to us. So faith comes by hearing, then it grows by the works of faith, prayer, confession, and then it works by love. It is the love that brings the blessing. All right? And that's what Paul was really trying to tell them. So when we remove the foundation of faith, then automatically we get disconnected from God. Because the only way we can come to God is by faith in Jesus' blood and the work that Jesus did. Amen? All right? And when we're disconnected, you are now under a curse. Because a new law begins to operate, the law of sin and death. And the law that Jesus came to institute in our lives is temporarily, if we're born again, disconnected until we reconnect. Amen? All right, so that is the point that he was making. So it's important for us, therefore, brethren, to have the Abraham kind of faith, not the Thomas kind of faith. Thomas switched off. Your faith must not switch off. My faith must not switch off. The switch of faith must remain turned on. Amen. And when it's turned on, how do you keep it turned on? It's by those things you said, believing, you know, speaking the word, you know, prayer, fasting, you know, thanksgiving, you know, so that like Abraham, he received the son of promise by faith, by doing all those things. But he didn't stop there. When the son of promise came, he didn't then stop those things. And that's why Bible calls him faithful Abraham. He didn't stop. He continued. So raising him up was by faith. You know, everything he was doing with was by faith. So that by the time God came to him in Genesis 22 and said, take that boy whom you love, the only one, take him to the mountain I'm going to show you and sacrifice him up. He had built a faith history. He had a faith relationship over time with God. So when that test came, he was more than ready. God is not a bad examiner. He doesn't let tests come to us when we're not ready. If it comes to us, we are ready. We have everything we have been given to succeed, yea, to excel. Amen. And Abraham passed with flying colors. Give him a super hand. Amen. Passed with flying colors. Bible says he was strong in faith, giving glory. That's thanksgiving. Before he got to thanksgiving, he must have prayed. He must have believed. He must have confessed. Even the mentioning the wife's name every day was confession. So he fulfilled the principles. And the Bible says that when he did that, then he gave God a basis for God to now come into his life and now institute those blessings. Amen. And that blessing was really for Christ to bring eternal life unto all mankind. All right. So we see that is the will of God for us. So it's important for us, brethren, for us to fulfill our end of the covenant by obeying God. Amen. And the more we obey God, the more his law is written upon our hearts. And when that law is written upon our hearts, and written, and love is perfected, then we tap into the glory of God. Amen. And we operate under the borrowed anointing of our fathers. Amen. And then we grow into our own, and the blessings then come upon us and overtake us. And that's what the Bible says. Amen. So we keep our eyes on the goal. The goal is keep loving, keep walking in love, keep walking in obedience, keep walking in unity, you know, and obeying instruction. And in that atmosphere, whatever God promised is going to come to pass. Amen. Because God does not lie. All right. So we're going to verse 12 this morning. And let's read it. Verse 12. Thank you. Yes. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Next verse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Next verse. That the blessing of Abraham might come. Conditional. Might. So it means that there's some things that you do that you might not. Just English. Okay. On the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit of it. We will receive in Jesus' name. Next verse. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Next verse. Now to Abraham and his seed. How many of his seed are there here today? His seed. Notice that the seed is in singular. Amen. Let's put our hands down. Amen. While the promise is made, he saith not, and to the seeds as of many or natural, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Amen. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. Next verse. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Next verse. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. Let's give God Paul a cup of it. Paul is a great man. The Bible says that if you see a man who keeps the commandments and teaches others to do it, he is great in the kingdom. He's a great man. The ability to break it down with such clarity is indispensable. And indispensable means that if you don't have it, you're not going anywhere. You know, and we really give God glory. Let's look at verse 12. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. Verse 12. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, the Bible says, the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. What's he saying? He's saying that the law that God gave Moses was busy. There were many parts to it. Okay, there was the Torah. Okay, which was, you know, like the commandments that he gave them. Now, in that Torah, you know, from Genesis to Deuteronomy, you know, you have spiritual law in that. Then you have moral law. Then you have the law of relationship between people. You have health laws, you know. Then you had ceremonial sacrifices and observances. You know, so it was, so when he was talking about, you know, he's talking about that whole system, it was based on ceremonial and physical observances. For example, going to Jerusalem 3 times a year, it was a law. You had to go. Keeping the Sabbath once a week was a law. You had to do it. Offering sacrifices, it was a law. You had to do it. And he says, the man that doeth them shall live in them. That is, you are meant to be doing it consistently. Look at Exodus chapter 20. Quickly, as we just look at it. Exodus 20, just read a few verses. But if you look at Exodus 21, let's read it. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. It's God that got us born again. Before we were born again, we were in the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. As I am number one, I should be number one in your life. Next verse. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. That is, nothing should be more important to you. Nothing that is created should be more important than me, your creator. Now, and it goes on to list all the Ten Commandments and all that. And it continues into 21, 22, 23. Okay, now let's jump to Leviticus chapter 18. And read from verse 1. From verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. Next verse. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, where I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You cannot live like the world. You cannot live by the standards of the world. Telling them, next verse. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Next verse. You shall therefore keep my statutes. So in order to obey me, this is what you need to do. Things I have told you to be saying, you need to be saying them. My statutes. You must therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall what? Live in them. I am the Lord. Amen. So he was telling them, it's there, but it's not explicit, that if you keep spiritual law, the word of God, believing it in your heart, confessing it with your mouth, things I've asked you to say, you know, and you do it with diligence, then all the other things that I have asked you to do, you will have the wisdom and the power to be able to do it, so you will live in it. That was what he was telling them. But you know, and a lot of the patriarchs of old, even before the law, how did Joseph keep it before the law? It was by faith. The word of God in my heart, what his daddy taught him, and you know, speaking him with his mouth, and then doing what was right. That was how he kept it all through in Egypt, all through from 15 all the way to 110. That's how he did it. How did Daniel do it? Same way. And they were in hidden land. They were in captivity. They were in a foreign land. So don't say that, oh, I'm in a foreign place. When you are in Rome, behave like the Romans. No excuse. The Bible says he's the Lord our God. He's above everything else. And we must set him there and honor him and obey him. So God said it deliberately. So you cannot honor your father and your mother, yet falsely accuse your neighbor. You are doing two different things. And that's what the Pharisees used to do. In an attempt to keep the law, they focused on the external law, the external actions, external observances, and omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgments. Judging yourself on the inside in your heart. asking for mercy and showing mercy, and then walking in faith in the God invisible that I cannot see. The Bible said Moses endured as seeing God who is invisible. Hebrews 11:27. So how was Moses seeing God? He didn't have any law at that time. It was by faith. And so he's, what Paul is saying here is that you know that when God said that you must live and continue in it, there was something at the back of his mind. What was at the back of his mind? What was at the back of his mind is that if you try and keep the external physical observances, you will find out that you do some, you break some. And because I have said that the man that doeth shall live in them, you have to accept the fact that there is a problem. I am doing some, but I am breaking some. Something is wrong somewhere. And even though I am looking okay on the outside, that's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, when he said that, let's turn there, let's go there very quickly. Let's start from verse 3. Yes. All right. For we are the circumcision which worship God. He's speaking as a Jew, which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, this is the bonding. That's where it should be. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man think that he had whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now, he's talking about things that men can see in the flesh. Next verse. Thank you. Verse 5. Circumcised on the eighth day. These are the things that the Jews prided themselves on. Okay? This is the law. Okay, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, Pharisee, a very strict sect that they really want to obey every jot and tittle of the law. Next verse. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is the law, blameless. Next verse. But the things which were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You have to come to a place where you realize, I am doing something wrong. There is something wrong with me. And that's what everybody that really worked with God, they had to come to that point. And then say, God, have mercy on me. And then God comes in and begins to expose the fact that there is a problem. Look at Romans chapter 7, verse 7 to 13. And this is what Romans chapter 7, verse 7 to 13. Give it to me in the NIV, please. Thank you. What shall we say then? I can't hear you. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? What's the answer? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, do not covet. So what was God saying? In trying to not, when you hear do not covet, it is when you hear do not covet that you actually now, in an attempt not to covet, really covet. So it's like, but I heard the instruction, and this is really to set us free, brethren. Because many times, you know to do good, but you cannot do it. Because there is something else working against your doing it. And we must understand that it's a nature. It's a nature. So the law was really meant to expose to man that there was a nature that was going to hinder you all the way. Because that nature was going to take you to hell. Except you repented in the Old Testament and began to live by the mercy of God, and then God now began to show you mercy from the outside upon your soul and upon your mind, and then you began to obey God by the life of God coming from the outside, and then you wound up in Abraham's bosom. Otherwise, you are under a curse. The sin was going to make you disobey God, and the wages of sin is death, and when you die, you have to go to hell. So really, it was an escape mechanism for them to realize that, I'm on the wrong path and switch tracks. Amen. All right? All right. So let's just read it. Let's read let's read further down. Next verse. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Sin is there, but it's dormant. So when you hear, get up, line up, that's when you want to sit down. When you hear, okay, time to pay. And that's when you say, I don't feel like. Nobody can make me. When you want to pray, I'm feeling sleepy, I'm tired, I've been working all day. Hello. It's sin working inside. Amen. Next verse. Once I was alive apart from the law. It's talking about when we were born into the world through our parents, our spirit was alive to God. Amen. But when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. That means that we're at some age, at some point, you know, age 4, age 5, when you heard an instruction and you understood the instruction, the sin just revived. Because once the law comes, sin says, no, we are not doing that. And nobody can make me do it. You know, and that's sin. Next verse. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. Next verse. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me. Look at that. And through the commandment, put me to death. Next verse. So then the law is what? Holy. And the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Last verse, 13. Did that which is good then become death unto me? By no means, but in order that sin might be recognized as sin in nature, it produced death in me through what was good, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. And then I now reach out for help. Amen. That's why we end up in the last verse of Romans chapter 7. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He now goes to verse, say, thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I thank God. So then with my mind, I serve the law of sin, but with the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Next verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free. Everybody say free. One more time, free from the law of sin and death. We're not going down, we're going up. Amen. All right, so that is what he was trying to. He was opening their eyes and dismantling it for them to understand that you cannot go back to that way of life. The end of it is death. No, I'm pleasing God by giving offering, pleasing God by physical things. Now, physical things have a place because they are the evidence of our faith in God. Do you understand? But every time we don't come on the strength of what we have done, we come on the strength of what Jesus has done for us, and then we now put our own on top of what he did so that we can complete it and obey God. The end of it is obeying God. If you do all those things and still not obey God, we have not gotten to the mark. That's the mark we need to get to, okay? So we see here that Christ has redeemed us from this cross by taking our own nature and hanging it on the cross. That's what it means by curses everyone that hangs upon a tree. Jesus took our nature upon himself. The Bible says he became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. It's a becoming. You know, you become because he became. You know, you don't earn it. It's because of what he did. And you must always remind yourself every day as a Christian in your mind, so you're always constantly connected to God. Every time you say, Father, I confess my sins, it should not make you feel bad. It should make you feel good. I confess my sins and I clean with the blood. So I retain connection. Otherwise, you cannot be saying, oh, when was the last time I sinned? I can't remember. No! It's not the last time you remember. It is based on, Father, I confess my sins. I clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, I have life. You're righteous. All right? And no accuser or every accusation of the enemy is nullified. Amen? So our perfect Lord was a legal substitute to free us from sin and all its consequences. And that's why Caiaphas, and that day in John chapter 11, the high priest, he offered Jesus up, not knowing. Look at John chapter 11. Look at God. Verse 47. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees, a council, and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles." Next verse. "If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place," because they've been dealing with us as a link to the people, but they will take all that from us, "and our nation." And next verse. "And then one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest, that same year said unto them, 'You know nothing at all.'" Caiaphas didn't know what he was saying. Next verse. Next verse. "Now consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not." Next verse. "And this spake he not of himself, but he, being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation." God was making Caiaphas, as the high priest, who was not functioning, he had to say legally. And he said it without knowing what he was saying, that Jesus, the perfect lamb, would carry my sin and yours, and those of all your generation, people yet unborn, take it and pay for it in hell, and then give us instead life. And look, that God's a master stroke. God is a master strategist. He made Caiaphas say it, and they were busy having a conversation and was making a proclamation. And as he said, all heaven stood still. That yes, the high priest has given us permission. We can go ahead and do it now. And he launched the plan into operation because they needed his approval. And he gave it without knowing. Give God a clap offering. Our God is a great God. People that are against you, they will push you to your destiny. Yeah, Saul pushed David into his destiny. All right? They will think they are doing you a disservice, but they are actually helping. I read something after a man of God. He said, "Thank you so much, my enemy." Amen. "Thank you so much, my enemy, because it is my enemies. You have helped me to understand God more. You have helped me understand how to walk with God. You have helped me understand how to walk in love. I have become more like God because of you." That's the mentality. Your enemy is moving you towards God. Because sometimes without their physical incentive, we won't really move towards God the way we should. God have mercy on us. Amen. All right, so we see God fulfilling the shadow and bringing forth the New Testament substance to pass using Caiaphas, so that God used the high priest after the order of Aaron to deliver the lamb, who will now become the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and now become a high priest that does not die, but that has the power of an endless life, and so can give life. So you and I can live forevermore. He ever liveth to make intercession. That's what he said in John chapter 11 as well. "But if you believe on me, you will never die." I'm telling me a matter. That's what he meant. "I will keep giving you life. You will keep having life." All right, so that's what it was. So it's very important. Look at Hebrews 7. It's a Bible study. So I'm going to shut down very soon. Hebrews 7, verse 16. Yes, give it to me in the Amplified, not the classic Amplified, just Amplified. 7, verse 16. Thank you. Thank you very much. "Who has become a priest, not on the basis of a physical and legal requirement in the law concerning his ancestry as a descendant of Levi, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible and endless life." That's eternal life. Next verse. "For it is attested by God of him, 'You, Christ, are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek.'" Next verse. "For on one hand, a former commandment is canceled because of the weakness and uselessness, because of his inability to justify the sinner before God." You are not justified by the kind of clothes you wear. No, not by taking holy water. No, those things are not how you are justified. Look, let's continue reading, okay? "For the law never made anything perfect. While on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we now continually draw near to God. Notice that it's continually. We keep coming closer because the life, he keeps giving you life so you can keep progressing on that journey. Look at verse 28. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, frail, sinful, dying men. But the word of the oath of God, which is by faith, which came after this institution of the law, permanently appoints as priest a son who has been made perfect forever. What that means is that the Old Testament priest could only give what he had. And what he had was death. So basically what God used them to do was to try and restrict the effect of sin. Okay, by covering it, which was atonement, okay, so that it will not multiply. You know, the way it did in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, when the Bible says that the thought of man was continually evil because sin had grown exceedingly. So God had to keep, he took one nation out of all nations of the earth to attempt. You have to give God a clap of rain. Give God, Pastor Andrew, I appreciate that standing up. God is great. He wants to save all mankind. But he tries to use one nation. That nation is not even enough. A lot of them don't want to do what he wants to do. So he takes one tribe, you know, to try and see. He can take out of one nation, one tribe out of 12 to see whether he can do. And God still ended up doing it. Give God the glory. Look at the odds that were stacked against him. Stacked odds patiently. Consistently, he brought it forth. He restricted the sin, took away the sin problem. They brought in a new high priest. So he changed two problems, the nature problem and the high priest problem. And then brought in a new set of law, a better testament, established upon better promises. Amen. And the end of that is that you and I can become like God and carry God's glory to the ends of the earth. That's the end of it. If he has started, he's going to finish it. That's why the Bible says, by the promise and by two immutable things. It was impossible for God to lie. No, we draw near to God. So, brethren, God is saying today is that let's draw near. Don't hold back. Don't be looking around who's doing it, who's not doing it. God wants you to be a pioneer. Under pioneers. Amen. A first of the first fruits. When people have seen your example, they will now come and follow. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. We give that to God. Glory be to God. Amen. All right. Now, the promise of the Spirit spoken of here, you know, going back to Galatians chapter 3, you know, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Okay? All right. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing, Pastor Wiggins said this, you know, Pastor has said it many times too, but Pastor Wiggins said it, one time, I think it was on Sunday, talking about the works of God and the work of God, you know, and all that, is that when you believe on God, what does God require of us? He requires of us that we believe on him. The work of God is that you believe on his son, Jesus Christ. That's the work. Then, based on that believing, you now add works. There are many works that you add, but the work is believing. Okay, now that promise of the Spirit talking about is 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. 1 John 2, and this is the promise that he has promised us. It's not houses, brethren. It's not dollars and yen. They are part of it, but the main makoi is eternal life. That will bring all the other things in its time. Because, you know, there's good success and there's bad success. If you get all those things without eternal life, you don't have the power to retain it. The Bible says strong men retain riches. The power to retain is this. Otherwise, those same riches, the Bible says, the prosperity of fools destroys them. Things can destroy you. Bible says a gift perverts judgment. You wanted to do the right thing. And then they said, ah, we're just appreciating you. Just to say thank you. Is it wrong to say thank you? You know, in Nigeria, people always try and, have you said to him? Settle him up. People, they expect to be settled. It perverts your judgment. That means that you cannot think correctly. Anytime that thing is the sin nature. Anytime that thing comes, you remember the gift and you are inclined to act in favor of the person that gave you the gift. You can't help it. Except you have the nature of God on the inside. This is eternal life. And you are pumped, you are processing it. So you take it from eternal life nature and make it power. Raw power. By believing, receiving life, and praying in tongues to convert it into spiritual power and then generating it. That you will not be able to stand upright. You will bend under the pressure. Like Aaron bent under the pressure. Aaron bent now. He said, go and get the... Go and get there. And he made them go. He made it even speedily. If it can happen to Aaron, brother, it can happen to you and I. Where was Moses? Mountain, place of prayer. Where was Joshua? Mountain. It's in the place of prayer. We fellowship in God and receive eternal life that you can stand upright and say, no, I don't want your gift. And when they even see the disapproving look on your eye, there's a scripture that says, when you see disapproving look on your eye, it's like you're insulting me. Can't I do my work again? That's how to answer them. Can't I do my work again? I want the one from God. Thank you. I see your heart. Just be kind. I see your heart. I know you're trying to be, but it's against the rules, my personal rules, and the rules of my institution. I don't do that. Please. When they see that, they won't try it again. Well, what are they giving you that's going to take away eternal life? Will they be there when the devil comes to knock, and when it comes in like a flood, will they be there? No. But God will raise up a standard of life, and the enemy will fail. All right? So we see that Jesus was that eternal. So Jesus is the tree of life. So brethren, God is taking us back into the Garden of Eden. So that we can now begin to fulfill the commandment that the first Adam did not fulfill. That the second Adam has fulfilled by example. And is now bringing us in so that we can fulfill. We will eat of the tree of life and then of all the other trees and leave the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's what he's doing. That's what he's telling them. And so easy to slip from one tree to the other. We must not leave the tree of life and be eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that's why correction is so important. When you don't accept correction or obey instruction, the Bible says, take fast hold of instruction, for she is your life, tree of life. Once you don't accept correction, you'll be thinking you are right, knowledge of good and evil. You may even be right, but you don't have the power to do what you are thinking. You lack the power, having a form, but lacking the power thereof. That's how it is. So anytime, accept correction. If you are really, really justified. I mean, in my relationship with Pastor and Mommy, I have seen over the years, they will take shame and reproach that is unfair and unjust and accept it. And not like meek like a lamb. And allow God to fight. It's better for God to do the fighting. It's better. And God will do it way exceedingly abundantly. In a way that will impact lives. Mom will always ask you, what will you give for a person's soul? We always think of naira and kobo, money, me. May God have mercy on us. It's the purpose of God and the souls of men. That's the priority. And then money. Amen. All right. So we understand that. So that's what God is saying. So we are being restored to God's image. And we are going to begin to close now. In verse, that's my second closing. All right. So I need to do a finally now, right now. Okay. All right. So if you look at, so he takes about, when he says that, Let's just leave it. I think we should just round it up here. All right. So what is God trying to say to us today? What he's basically saying is that, you know, it's so important for us, you know, to understand that we must be eating of the tree of life. Christianity is not observing a set of rules. It will produce obedience to a set of rules, but that's not what it is. It is a relationship based on faith. Amen. And then with that faith, you now do what the Bible calls the first works. The works of fellowshipping with God in the place of prayer, in the place of the word, receiving the life of God, you know, reading the word, meditating on the word, so that you can now obey. And as you obey, you inscribe the word of God upon the tables of our hearts, fulfilling the covenant and giving God a basis to come in into your situation and turn it around, change you, change your flesh, change your mind, change your appetite, change who you are. The things that you are struggling with are not a match for you. The resources at your disposal are way more. The name of God, the blood of Jesus, the word of God, angels, the power of the Holy Spirit. What? You have so much going on our behalf. That's what God is saying. There is so much that is available to us, and we must use it diligently. Diligently. If you use it, but you're not diligent, you may not still get the result that you want to get. So you double down on diligence. Now, diligence are three levels. At keeping our hearts. Keeping our hearts. Quickness to repent. Honesty of heart. Sincerity. When things happen and you are corrected, don't blame the person that exposed you. Don't blame the person that is correcting you. Bible says, my son, faint not. You know, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Faint not when you are rebuked of him, for it's a sign of love. And if you allow it to have his work, Bible says you will be a partaker of his righteousness. No, so that keeping of the heart is very important. We begin to judge ourselves, you know, and so by the time people are even judging you, you know, you are open and receptive to it. It's not trying to do or obey so that nobody corrects you. That's the wrong motive. Bible says reproof of instruction is the way of life. You're going to get corrected on this way to becoming like God. You are going to get corrected. So accept it. I'm not perfect. Take it. No. And Bible says, you know, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. God doesn't want you to, you know, don't take light. Okay, I did this. I did that. I did this. I did that. And in a way, yes, there's some good there, but I would rather you ask me, God, have mercy on me. How should I do this? How should I do that? That's better than the one that you did. I did this, but I thought that's the problem. You are thinking without the life of God. Ask God for mercy. So keeping of our hearts. The second one, diligently keeping the law of life and love. No, so you receive life and then you pump it into your will, mind, emotions, body, circumstances. So that Bible says, like in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, our whole spirit, our whole soul, and our whole body be preserved blameless. You will not sin because the life of God is there. Amen. And then perfecting the unity that will edify the church in love. We walk in love towards brethren. You know, we wash feet of the brethren. And when you see people commit a sin, no, don't laugh. Why are you laughing? What is funny? That's your brother. That is your sister. Doesn't matter what they did. We do not rejoice. We do not stab our own. No. And it begins in the heart. And God knows the difference. Bible says, if you see your brother going around there and you didn't say anything, and you say, maybe he that is above can see him. Bible is silent about what God will do. He's waiting for you. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So God is saying that we should wash each other's feet and be there, lend the kind hand, lend the helping hand, so that as we do that, we edify one another. Bible says, a bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flame. You become an avenue of mercy. A vessel of mercy that God can use to strengthen others. You know, when you have tried to change them and they're not changing, report to somebody in higher authority so that they can get the help they need. God didn't ask you to be the final say. He asked you to just do your bit. No, through joints and bands, edify and help. So that Bible says the body can become a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. Whatever you do that takes us to that place is the will of God. Is the love of God. Sometimes love, like Papa Ralph said, you offend the mind to get to the heart. People can be offended by what you said or by what you did. But when their heart is impacted positively by the fruit of it, they will come back to thank you. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the covering of our fathers. Brethren, let's repent. God is talking to us today. This law of faith works by love. But it's so important that the heart that is coming out from is a sound heart. Bible says a sound heart is the life of the flesh. Let's correct any unsoundness in our hearts. You know, ingratitude. We don't say those things outside. Sentiments. No, following our emotions and ignoring the word. Stubbornness. I will not do that. I'll do my own. Disloyalty. Murmuring and complaining. Unforgiveness. Deal with those things. Confess it. Repent. Let Jesus take it away. And give us eternal life in His place. And stand righteous. That blood will make you perfect in every good work to do the will of God. And then now begin to operate the law of the Spirit of life. Believe with your heart. Receive the life of God as a nature to your heart. And then release it in confession. And release the abundance of it by praying in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer. The measures are different. Confession releases life, but the amount of power you get from travail, out of his belly shall flow rivers, so that Christ can be formed in us. And then that Christ can carry the glory. And ultimately we become a tree of life. We ourselves become a tree of life. That God can put other people, unbelievers, under us and provide covering under God, under our fathers. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling down the vintage of wrath stored. Good lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. The trumpet.
He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Hope is sweet, my soul to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. My God is marching. Glory, hallelujah.
Glory, glory,
hallelujah. Of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. While God is marching on,
glory, glory,
hallelujah.
God wants his truth to march on. March on in our will. March on into our mind. Affect more of your values, more of your thoughts, more of your desires, in your emotions, your physical body, your appetites. That truth must keep marching on. That is the gospel of the kingdom. And there's no retreat. Let's raise up the hand. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, showing me that your desire is for your truth, your word, to become flesh in my will, my mind, my emotions, my physical body, and my circumstances, so that your glory can fill your temple and all flesh can be still while you stand in your temple to minister and to dominate and reign. And so, Father, I yield myself afresh unto you to submit to correction and instruction, to be quick to repent, quick to forgive, quick to obey, in the name of Jesus, that from my heart, with my mouth, I will speak forgiveness, ask life for my brethren, pray for them in tongues, walk in love, in kindness, in mercy, in patience, so that your truth will be evident in the lives of your children, manifest for the world to see. Have mercy on us. Help us to be faithful. Help us to triumph, so that our love will keep marching on and the body will be edified by that which every joint supplies, so we become a glorious church, fulfilling every jot and tittle of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rapaka consonte, kange de bebedi kakata, repako sankos, jeffre kange de bebet, ropan kikande, jeffre kale, rapa utalia, oramanto, bakalenda, kakolen, ajemonta, bekelea, robokote, rolebenta, pampanko tepadan, jeke de bebedi koktabela, ababanto mani, toba, bekele beberia, yero, bopo, beke, toma, toto, bikantorum, redelebe, kango de bebet, kangali bebeta, roboko seme, roba kakalevebedi kinema. In Jesus' name, amen. And the power of God is in this place under the covering of our fathers. We've shared the word of God. The truth is marching on in your heart. God wants to touch you, to confirm that word, that you are truly under a new covenant, that indeed you are no more under the curse. And so there is no, the devil has no right to touch your body, to touch your finances. So I want you to just open up your heart to God and talk to him. Is there any place where you have pain? You know, you're sick. Your body, God wants to touch you so you can serve him. Heavenly Father, healing is the children's bread. And so, Father, we just come, Lord, under the covering of our fathers. We thank you for your word that has gone forth. And the unction under covering, we come to pray and send that word of healing, word of deliverance, word of provision, word of peace, word of light into the hearts and the minds and the bodies of your children. We say, be thou made whole in the name of Jesus. We bind every spirit that is enforcing darkness in any form. We break your hold in the name of Jesus. And we declare the Son of God has set you free. You are free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.